I was working at the Art Gallery of Ontario as well as the Gallery at York University in the community doing art making for environmental ed. And I looked in my neighborhood to volunteer somewhere. So it turns out there's a new farmers market setting up. I signed up and thought that I might be moving some tables and chairs around, helping set up the day of. At the same time, a city museum was nearby called Spadina Museum, and they have 50 plus heritage fruit trees on their property as part of the museum. And they can maintain these trees for as museum pieces, but they don't have the capacity to make sure that everything gets picked and eaten, so they're often just raking the fruit away. When this market was starting, they said, hey, could anybody at the market somehow make use of this? So these things came together, and I was the one asked to do something about this. And I'd never picked fruit from a tree before, and I'd never been to this museum, which was right in my neighborhood, and really I didn't know at all what I was getting into. But I started just mentioning it to a few friends, and there was immediately so much enthusiasm for people to come help out. You know, we go outside of the city to go pick fruit and pay for the experience, but here you can get this in an urban context, and there's all this novelty and this amazing experience relating to trees and to food right there in the city. So people were excited about it. And then when we would bring the fruit to market and have a table there, that became a bit of a public forum where then people would come up and say, oh, hey, I have a fruit tree, or my neighbor has a pear tree. So all of these things started coming together. That was summer of 2007, late summer. And then I started learning about how there was this model called a fruit tree project. I heard about several groups in BC that were doing this, and I started to think, oh, maybe this could happen in Toronto. So I called a meeting in January 2008, just to say, okay, look, all the people who've been involved already, what could this become? It could become a fruit tree project, similar to the other models. It could become anything. Let's just dream big and imagine the wildest possible ideas. And we came up with this idea of like a cross-Canada fruit-picking train that would be in partnership with Via Rail, and like, that was one of the ideas, one of the wildest. But just trying to think, like, without any limits, what could this be?
It's great, yeah.
But then we got a bit practical, and we decided, okay, we would follow in the steps of this fruit tree project model, that we would tailor it so that it could be scalable for Toronto, starting with one neighborhood, making a model that could be modular in nature and building. Anyways, it all started to come from there. But outside of that personal narrative of why I became involved, it was really that Toronto was ready for this project.
Why?
So there was this moment that it was all happening in, where we were building the local food movement, where people are gaining an access and a wider public understanding of what climate change is and how food plays such an important role in that. A better understanding of what poverty is about, and people trying to challenge these models of like the charity model of just donating food and trying to better engage people in the broader community around poverty issues. And I think that that not far from the tree happened. It emerged in this moment where a number of these different things were coming together. Also, the urban forest is now becoming an understood concept, that people are better understanding just how important trees are in the city and where we've come and where we're going for better understanding urban ecology. I think that one of the most powerful pieces of Not Far From the Tree is that it can challenge that idea of city versus country or civilization versus wilderness. That here we have these intersections of agriculture and ecology right there in the fabric of the city.
So if you think this happened 5 years ago, you don't think it would have been as successful? Was it a coming together of all these things that really helped propel it?
I think so. I think that made people get it. You know what else is also happening with the recession? And I think that for some people, that was what clicked for them about this. They'd say, this is what we're doing, you know, with Bickford, and we share it, and they'd say, oh, you know, in these times, we can't, you know, there was a narrative about, oh, no, we can't waste, and there were starting to emerge several stories in the media about food waste in particular. So I think it was a... all of these sort of help build the climate for this kind of a project really being meaningful. I think it would hold meaning otherwise, but it helped to be the right moment for it to really take off.
If you can provide it with your vision moving forward for the parliamentary, how would you sort of, how would you define that? Or is that
Well, it's about our... it's about our core program, which is a fruit picking program, that right now we're in 14 of the city's 44 wards, their neighborhoods, and we hope to be able to, it's our ambition to spread this model across the whole city. We have fruit trees signed up in every city, we have eager volunteers, in every neighborhood. And there are definitely banks and shelters and kitchens in each neighborhood that can make use of the donations. So we know that there's interest to spread this across the whole city. We've also been able to help other groups get started in other cities. So I hope to be able to continue doing that, but I also feel that what's needed is a network across these similar projects, so that we can be learning from best practices and sharing resources and that. So looking at more of the systemic problems of why people struggle to access food. And I think it's also about a broader vision of being able to steward our urban orchard, our urban forest. Right now it's about 11% of trees in Toronto that are fruit-bearing, and that's a significant portion of our urban canopy, and yet there isn't really any directed way to care for those trees. And what we're discovering is that so many of the trees, the homeowners don't have the capacity to keep up with that.
And just to ask you a question with regards to food security, it's becoming such a hot topic, and is the running theme of our issue. Curious, what do you see? How does the organization sort of play into that issue? How does it sort of, is it inspired at all by that issue? Do you feel, what are your feelings towards that concern, and globally or here, whatever?
Well, when this thought struck me pretty early on in the project, that globally there is enough food to feed everybody, and yet a billion go hungry every day. Now having hit 7 billion, there are these questions of, oh, can we feed everybody? And it's not a production issue. It's about access, it's about distribution, it's about politics, it's about systemic poverty. So if we can, I think it's a fairly simplistic example, but I think there's something to be said for not far from the trees model being a bit of a microcosm of this, or that we can see this occurring in Toronto when we look specifically at fruit. That there is this production of fruit, but it's happening by and large on private property. And so it really does come down to access, to distribution. It's about sharing. It's about having this abundant resource, and yet there are people struggling to access fresh fruit, any food at all in many cases. And so then how can you put all those pieces of the puzzle together so that we have a solution for everybody involved? And in this case in particular, even the property owners are fed up with having this abundance of fruit. It becomes a nuisance to have a fruit tree on your property that is producing so much and you can't keep up with it. So we're playing this role of connecting all of those dots and making it so that these private property lines that are dividing hungry people from sources of food that we're kind of disappearing those, so that what was once this private nuisance or liability now becomes an asset that's shared within the broader community.
And right now, is there a number of volunteers? Like, what's the general number?
Yeah, we've close to 950 now.
How do they hear of you?
We did one call out. In 2008, we did one call out. So that's not how we get volunteers. It's by word of mouth, it's by media, it's by people going, having a great time, and telling their friends. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's educational. I'd venture that it's transformative. And you get some fruit to take home. So I think it can be an incredibly powerful experience. And our only dilemma right now is that we have too many volunteers. So picks fill up within 10 minutes of them being released. We give 24 hours notice, and it's a go. So the frustration that many of our volunteers feel now is that they can't actually come out and volunteer. So that's extra motivation for us to be able to continue to expand our programs.
So is that, right now, if I would ask you what the major challenges you have facing on a daily basis, would you say that is one of them, is scaling up or expanding?
Yeah. And that comes down to fundraising. That comes down to getting the resources in order to hire staff and pay for our insurance and get the volunteer training and all of those pieces that make the programs possible. So with our model, it doesn't take a whole lot each time you go into a new neighborhood to make that happen, but still the resources are required.
I'm trying to influence bylaws in the city and influence different, like you said, you want to change people's perception, and you're certainly doing that. Is that a really strong motivator direction?
There's plenty of room to be able to better advocate for urban forestry issues, for food security issues, for environmental issues. So in those three places where our work really, really intersects, certainly, we touch on really broad issues. So it's not just about fruit on trees.
We burn the fruit.
So I think there are other places where I think that there's a lot of potential for us to have a strong voice. And in fact, when I first chatted with David Miller about this project when he was mayor of Toronto, I told him how many volunteers we had. It was probably like 600 or something, 700 by then. And he said, "That's a small political party." And it dawned on me, like, hey, we could do something. I mean, we're doing something with this, but there is also that potential for more advocacy. So when we have a moment to think further about that, I'd like to put some energy there.
Have a moment, right?
Yeah,
right.
Catch our breath, yeah.
Moving forward, and I know you said what your vision is for the next book, and let's say you said you want to be around for a while, and I'm sure you will be. Where do you see, let's say, in 5 years, 10 years, where do you see yourself creating new partnerships in different cities or even in this city or running the city, being the mayor of the city?
For me personally or for not part of the country?
You personally, come on.
It feels like a difficult time in the development of the project for me to speak to that. Probably a year ago I could have said a really solid answer to that for myself and for the organization. And now we're at a point where the dynamic of the organization is shifting somewhat in a really positive direction, where actually it's tomorrow evening where we have our first full steering committee meeting where we are really diving into the issues of the longer term vision and sustainability of the project. So even before tomorrow night, it feels premature to answer that question.
Sure. Yeah.
But the fact that we now do have a steering committee that is a broader governance structure, and we're part of a national charity, and we have their board and their administrative support, that all of these things have been pieces of us putting together the organizational development, And it's really starting to build a solid foundation for the vision of the project. So it's no longer something that I can individually speak to. Okay. It's now a more shared thing.
Yeah, fair enough. And, that's a good point, yeah.
And I say that quite proudly. I think for a long time I've been the face of the organization, and I've been lending my vision to it, and I'm really excited for, I mean, that's been more the public face of it, and there have been so many people working on it behind the scenes, and I'm really excited for that work to now take more of a role in the broader vision for it.